Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 28th of October, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today, including another hat podcast featuring an Indiana Lieutenant Governor candidate talking agriculture and U.S., Canada, and Mexico ag leaders discussing major issues facing their countries last week. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says we have some beautiful weather the next 3 days before big changes, and the corn and bean markets profit-taking on Friday ahead of the weekend. We have analysis with Brian Basting on the Hat Monday podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them at ffbt.com to learn more.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Beckwith shares his vision for Indiana agriculture, and North American ag officials meet in Virginia. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Republican candidate for Indiana Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith is our guest on the latest Indiana Ag Policy podcast. He won the nomination for LG at the Republican convention back in June, and since then, many would call him polarizing for some of his views and opinions.
You know, I'm labeled as polarizing. I don't think I am. That's not who I am. Anyone who knows me knows that I'll give you the shirt off my back. I build consensus. I don't care where you are in the ideological spectrum. If we can work together, we're going to find a way to do that. Now, the media will label me this because I don't put up with some of the nonsense of today's culture.
He dives much deeper into that in the Indiana Ag Policy podcast, available now wherever you listen to podcasts. Beckwith believes a big reason he was able to win over the delegates at the convention was his stance on property taxes, and he knows farmers are facing significant increases again. He believes property taxes are unconstitutional.
I also know that we've created this problem over about 100 years, and we can't just fix it overnight. So I'm not saying that we just pull the rug out because it would destroy rural communities. But my heart will always be to get it back to what it was more intended to be. And so with me, and I know with Mike, we are going to be fighting tooth and nail for those property taxes to come down big time, because we cannot sustain this type of egregious overreach by government. If this goes on much longer, our farmers are going to die.
He also promises farmers that a Braun Beckwith administration will push back against the federal government when necessary. He points to the summertime waiver of E15 sales that the industry needs to seek each year, instead of the EPA following science and allowing it year-round.
To me, that is insane. It's like, why is the government stepping in and making it so hard to do business? Let the market do what the market does. So I think first and foremost, from the Braun Beckwith team, you're going to get somebody that will fight the federal regulations that keep farmers from being able to do what we know is best for our own families, our own crops, and our own businesses.
Again, hear more in the Indiana Ag Policy podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Foreign animal diseases and ag trade were among the topics during the Tri-National Agricultural Accord hosted last week by NASDA. CJ Miller reports on the meeting among ag leaders across the U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
What we're after is a quest to make certain we have that trust and understanding of what we're going to do, and as importantly, what we're not going to do.
And that's Ted McKinney, CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, or NASDA for short. He says one of the main goals was for ag leaders across the states and provinces throughout the U.S., Canada, and Mexico to put together a plan to coordinate their efforts in the event of containing the spread of a foreign animal disease such as African swine fever.
Everybody, I think, knows that African swine fever is in the Dominican Republic, which is not too far offshore from Mexico. Mexico's worried that they don't want it, and we, of course, don't want it. And then, of course, Canada, they too could find it. if we're able to find the funding, we're going to do a very significant tabletop exercise that includes all three countries and just really work through to make sure that we identify what gaps need to be filled. Where are there inadequacies? What more can we all do on that fateful day if it ever does hit one of our countries?
And even though Mexico's import ban on biotech corn was put into place by their previous president, McKinney hopes that having discussions with those ag leaders of the different Mexican states can help move the needle to overturn their country's ban.
We still have some things to resolve, the major point being in November when the Dispute Settlement Committee of USMCA will rule on whether Mexico is right or if they've been wrong. And I hope the new president will abide by that. She's a PhD scientist. So if you're going to believe in the science, here's the great example of a leader that should be believing and following that.
He adds that this year's meeting also included the chance for state and provincial ag leaders to meet face-to-face with many of the leaders from across the ag industry.
And I mean industry from Canada, industry from the U.S., and industry from Mexico. We're all there. And it was quite the hit. It's civil, it's diplomatic, it's respectful. It highlights things that some of the state government leaders did not know. And so we're going to continue to build on that because it's the industry and at some level the farmers that are on the cutting edge of all this. They're the ones that see what's working, what's not working, what's threatening them, what's keeping them awake at night.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with a look at your Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Farm Forecast. We're starting off the week on a mild note. Plenty of beautiful weather coming today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. But we are also seeing significant pattern change. Try and work into the forecast picture here. Starting later this week. Let's talk about the next 3 days first. We're seeing a lot of sunshine. Temperatures back to well above normal levels. Honestly, even over the weekend, we were above where we should be this time of year with the sunshine. Drying will be relatively swift. Strong southwest winds will be developing later today and tonight and going through the day tomorrow into Wednesday. That means we see dominant dry weather all the way through the day Wednesday. High pressure sitting just off the southeast coast of the U.S. keeps us dry, but it also plays into a significant front that's going to be showing up here for Halloween, the 31st. That front brings rain and thunderstorms on the order of a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain on Thursday. The moisture done probably by near sunset. Then we pause, a little bit cooler for Friday, but see high pressure over the top of us, so we're sunny and dry again. We pause for Friday and we pause the Saturday before another weather system comes in for Sunday the 3rd. Looking at hit and miss, scattered showers, and this could linger into Monday the 4th as well. An additional quarter to 1 inch coming out of that round of moisture. Behind it, we are cooler as we move through the rest of that first full week of November. Dry for Tuesday the 5th, dry for Wednesday the 6th, but seeing another system coming together in the central plains for probably the late 6th, early 7th time frame. So again, another chance at moisture, quarter to 3/4 of an inch there. Then we're definitely turning the page on the dry pattern that we had seen. So any harvest that is not completed by the end of the day Wednesday is probably going to have to dodge moisture a little bit more than through the rest of the month of November. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A sell-off across the board, corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review, and we lose some ground going into the weekend. Settlements coming up from the Friday session. First, market analysis, and for that, I checked in with Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, in the middle of the day. We have a sell-off. That's been the case from the start of trade to end the week, so we're going into the weekend looking at some corn and soybean market profit-taking in all likelihood. And even though we got some export sales, some flash sales announced again on Friday, the markets have a weaker tone. Maybe due for a setback?
Yeah, I think you summarized that well. Thanks for having me, Andy. We're going to look at some profit taking here, I think, on a Friday before probably the last big harvest weekend here of 2024. We've had some strong export business, as you said, here throughout the week. A strong flat price rally in December corn futures. A bit of a bounce in November beans up on Thursday, although it pulled back since then. But as we enter the end of this trading here for the week, I think we are seeing some long liquidation. Maybe a little bit of pre-hedging by country elevator industry here ahead of a weekend, too. If we are to see some active harvest and maybe some producers selling over the weekend. So, yeah, I think all those factors have combined together to feel a little bit of a setback here on Friday.
Outside markets, the dollar, crude oil, and the stock market have shown some real moves up and down this week. Are those still impacting the markets, or have we divorced ourselves from that effect somewhat?
I think there's still secondary factors, Andy, in the scheme of things. Anytime you have the strength of the dollar, those factors are going to be impacting the grain markets. However, I would emphasize right now, this is a export-driven market, particularly for corn. These are the highest export sales we've seen over the last 4 weeks, for the last 30 years. That's how strong this export market has been. We're just seeing less competition from places like Brazil, Ukraine, compared to a year ago. And basically an end user has had to step in and buy U.S. corn here. And when they saw what appeared to be an attractive price and the market was not breaking much, despite this what appears to be a record yield on this 24 crop, they all stepped in at the same time. And so we're seeing those booming export sales that we've seen reported, as you mentioned, not only daily, but also this week's sales. So I would say it's export driven with those as still important secondary factors. As we move forward here, we're looking at the U.S. being in a good position to be an exporter, particularly for corn, the next 3 or 4 months, as we get into this, end of this 2024 calendar year and begin 2025. But again, I don't want to overplay that too much because we're looking at the highest yield ever we've seen on corn, so we're not running out either. It's just a matter of for the time being, with some of this corn being put into storage now, the market is doing what it needs to do in terms of basis strengthening, spreads narrowing, flat price rallying to get some grain moved to meet these commitments, these export commitments that have been made the last month here. So, but I think those other factors as we move forward still are going to be important, as they always are.
The front month November beans have flirted with $10 plus levels at times during the course of the week, but seem to struggle to maintain a move that goes up above $10.
Yeah, I saw a good quote this morning that kind of summarized that. It basically, in a nutshell, said it doesn't look like November beans love spending time above $10. Whether that triggered more farmer movement, it wouldn't surprise me, because, again, these bean yields in most cases are very strong. And you start to do the math, even with the price well below where it was last year, that still gross revenue can be still attractive if you're looking at very high yields for these 2024 beans. And producers also remember last year, Andy, that storing beans did not turn out so well, and storing corn didn't turn out well either. So I just plant this seed with your listeners, if I may, Andy. Thinking about marketing now is very important, and getting control of these 2024 bushels is extremely important. And if you are selling, I would encourage your producers to strongly consider adding a call option to that, because we've just started the growing season in South America, and a lot can change there, and a lot can change. The election's coming up in less than 2 weeks, and a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces. If producers are storing those beans and corn newly harvested, I'd also remind them that the crop insurance period is set here at the end of the month, and that effectively ends the price floor that's offered with crop insurance. And again, we saw what happened last year when the price continued to grind sideways to lower. Every year is different. I'm not predicting price, but what I'd encourage your listeners to do is, if they are putting in the storage, to get some downside price protection. And one way they could do that would be to purchase a put option. That gives a floor in the market, but leaves the upside open. So just some thoughts. Every operation is different, And but again, getting control of these 2024 bushels in a little bit of a tighter margin environment is very important.
Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. The number there, 309-664-2314. Now, final numbers from Friday trade. 6.25 lower Dease corn. It ended at 415.25. March, 429.5, a nickel and a half lower. May, 4.5 down at 437.25. 8.5 down on November beans, 987.75. January contract, 997.5, a loss of 7.5 cents. March goes to 1009, 7 cents off. December wheat down 12.5 cents, 569. And in the protein sector, December live cattle, 189.15, a dime down. December lean hogs up $1.02, 79.67. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.